We come today to Isaiah chapter 19, and we will cover chapter 19 and 20 in this, our 12th study in the book of Isaiah. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Isaiah chapter 19, verse 1. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. When God says that he's riding on a cloud, he is describing his great power. And here he is telling Egypt to get ready. Ready or not, here I come. Verse 2. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. God will cause the Egyptians to quarrel and fight with each other. And that, of course, will lessen their ability to fight an outside enemy. It's like Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And oftentimes, one of the judgments that God will bring upon a nation which has rebelled against him is conflict within itself. Verse 3, and the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst of it, and I will destroy the counsel of it, and they shall seek to idols, to the idols, and to the charmers, and to the mediums, and to the wizards. Big mistake. In their attempt to find solutions to their problems, Egypt will look to her false gods and to the spirits of dead people, and of course, that's not going to do them any good at all. Verse 4. And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. Who the cruel enemy is, God does not say. Verse 5. And the waters shall fail from the sea, and the river shall be wasted and dried up, and that's big trouble. The river is, The river that God speaks of here is the Nile River. And the Nile River was to Egypt what oil is to Saudi Arabia. I mean, if the Nile fails, Egypt is in big trouble. Verse 6, God says, and they shall, they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up. The reeds and flags shall wither. The paper reeds by the brooks, by the mouth of the brooks, and everything sown by the brooks shall wither, be driven away, and be no more. If the Nile dries up, the plants will die. And the good soil along its banks, which was so important for growing crops, will be blown away. Verse 8, the fishers also shall mourn, and all they that cast hook into the brooks shall lament, and they that spread nets upon the waters shall languish. Moreover, they that work in fine flax, and they that weave cotton cloth, shall be confounded, and they shall be broken in the purposes thereof. All that makes sluices and ponds for fish. Now, what God is saying here is that everyone in Egypt is going to be affected if the Nile goes. If Egypt doesn't repent, it's going to start with the Nile, but it's going to be trickle down misery. Verse 11. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. The counsel of the wise counselors of Pharaoh has become stupid. How say ye unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? God can control people and turn intelligence into foolishness. He can control people just as he can control nature. And he uses his control to punish, as he is doing here. 12. Where are they? Where are thy wise men? And let them tell thee now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts hath proposed upon Egypt. In other words, hey, king of Egypt, where are your wise advisors? Your advisors are so wise, well, have them tell you the plans that God has made to punish you, since they're so smart. 13. The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Memphis are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of its tribes. Now, Memphis had been the capital of Egypt before Zoan. Now look at verse 14. It says, the Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in the midst of it, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work of it, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. God is punishing Egypt by confusing her leaders. It was the blind leading the blind, and they were both falling into the ditch. 15. Neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail, branch or rush may do. No one in Egypt, not even the important people, are a match for God, or can counter his judgment in any way. Verse 16. And that day shall Egypt be like women, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. God says that Egypt is going to tremble like a weak and frightened woman on the day that he judges. 17. And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention of it shall be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. In other words, whenever the word Judah is spoken in Egypt, the Egyptians are going to tremble. And that's because just speaking the word Judah is going to make them think about Judah's all-powerful God that they know they're in trouble with. Don't even say the word Judah, because that makes us think of Judah's God, and then we're in trouble, and then we're scared. That's going to be their attitude. 18. And that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan, and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. Five cities in Egypt were near the border with Judah, and those five cities were indwelt by Jews. Verse 19, and that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border of it to the Lord. Amazing. There will be a monument dedicated to God in the land of Egypt. 20, and it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. The monument indicates there's going to be people dedicated to God in Egypt. And because of their dedication, they're going to cry out to the Lord in times of trouble, and he will help, as he always does. 21. And the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord, and perform it. People will worship the one true God publicly in Egypt. Today, of course, there are believers all over the world, not just in Egypt. Verse 22, and the Lord shall smite Egypt. He He shall smite and heal it. And they shall return, even to the Lord. And he shall be entreated by them, and shall heal them. And so after the Lord punishes Egypt, they will turn to him and start treating him as God. Next verse, verse 23. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. God promises that one day the people who were enemies will be friends. Assyrians will be friends with Egypt. And the reason they're going to be friends is that, amazingly, they are devoted to God. And whenever you're devoted to God, you can get along with another person who's devoted to God, even if you don't have anything else in common. 24. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land. And so God will bless the world through these nations that are committed to him. And I don't care if it's an individual or a nation. The more dedicated they are to Christ, the more of a blessing they will be to others. 25. Whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. God had promised Abraham 2,000 years ago, that all, longer than that, from where we are today, 4,000 years ago almost, that all the nations would be blessed through him and his seed, who is the Savior, Jesus Christ. No one but Jesus can change the hearts of people and make them love the real God and love their neighbor as themselves. And what we see in this verse is the fruit of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Chapter 20. In the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it. Ashdod was one of the five major towns of the Philistines, the old arch enemies of the Israelites. Sargon was the emperor of Assyria. And remember, Assyria was the big superpower, wicked but powerful. Sargon, the emperor of Assyria, his empire included the Philistines. Well, in 711 BC, the king of Ashdod, one of those Philistine cities, rebelled against Assyria. And so the king of Assyria ordered an attack against him. Verse 2. At the same time spoke the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amos, saying, Go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. God, what an embarrassment. But that was the point that God was trying to make here. You know, most of the time, God's prophets used words to communicate. This time, God wanted Isaiah to use actions. And talk about having to do something that isn't a whole lot of fun. Being a man of God, being a prophet of God who spoke the word of God, God tells him to walk around like this? An embarrassment. But there was a reason for it. Verse 3. And the Lord said, As my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and a wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia. See what God is doing? Isaiah's lack of proper clothing was to serve as a sign of terrible trouble for Egypt and Cush, or Egypt and Ethiopia. They're one and the same. Verse 4. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians as prisoners, and the Ethiopians as captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. Egypt and Cush will be shamed by Assyria. They should have turned to God. They should have looked to him for help. Verse 5. And they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and of Egypt, their glory. In other words, the other nations who relied on Egypt and Cush to protect them from Assyria would know that they were foolish for believing that. should have never trusted in these guys because they're embarrassed. 6. And the inhabitants of this coastland shall say in that day, behold, such was our expectation, where we fled for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, and how shall we escape? And I guess the big lesson here that I leave you with today is this. It is a lesson that the nations who counted on Egypt and Cush for protection learned the hard way. Do not depend too much on people or on the things of this world for security. Now, God may use those things if he chooses to, but it is God who we must depend on. And we'll pick it up in chapter 21 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.